This program is brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
When you condemn people's sin, apart from God's work of grace, apart from God's work of mercy, it leaves a feeling of self-righteousness, a holier-than-thou attitude in those people who feel like they're reformed. That always amazes me how somebody can take the time to really condemn somebody else's stuff when they stuff. Are y'all listening to me? They're condemning somebody else's stuff when their stuff is not really together. Can I get a witness? And we got to stop doing that.
You can interact with Creflo Dollar Ministries anytime, anywhere. All of this is at your fingertips with our state-of-the-art custom-designed app. With the broadcast feature, you can access your favorite messages, sermon series, and more. Add events to your calendar, set reminders, get directions, share with friends, and even give securely through this platform. Visit CrefloDollarMinistries.org/app or text APP to 51555 today.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
Under grace, God first reminds us of what He has done in grace. And then on the basis of that, he appeals for a life of godliness with that in mind. In other words, God has this work of grace. He reminds us of His grace, and He reminds us of His mercy. And then He makes an appeal for us to live godly, but not without us understanding His work of grace. Let me show you the phrase that God gave me to pull all this together. It may help you. I wrote it down. I was so excited about it. I signed my name just in case I leave it back and hundreds of years later, so nobody else won't have to struggle with what I'm getting ready to preach. And it's no longer a struggle, but here's what He said. God will not make an appeal. When I use the word appeal, He won't appeal to you to say, all right, you need to live godly. Or, all right, you need to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. All right, you need to treat everybody. That's what I refer to as an appeal. So I'm going to use the word appeal this morning, the appeals that God make. He appeals to you to live holy, appeals to you to do right, appeals to you to do that. But he never appeals to you. Here's what He says. God will not make an appeal without first providing mercy and grace for our failures. Oh boy. So what he means there is, I'm not asking you to live right until I first of all have a work of mercy and grace for when you don't live right that day. So now all of a sudden you're not too afraid to accept that appeal, because the threat of me not being able to do it has been taken away, because He said, before I ask you to live godly, notice my mercy and grace is at every beginning of every appeal that I have asked you. So I went and checked that out. I said, oh yeah, and I started seeing it. I saw how we skipped the mercy and grace part and went straight to the appeal. Live godly. But God says, no, 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 I won't ever request for you to do anything without first of all recognizing my work of grace in being able to ask you to live this way. So don't be afraid that you can't live this way, because I've already worked this thing out for your bad days.
Amen.
Oh.
Praise God.
Now.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I know. I got my handkerchief here. Ain't time. We're gonna cry in a minute, baby. I got one for you. All right, now watch this now. But man's ways are not God's ways. In general, man clings to the idea that benefits always come because of good conduct, and man's ways are that losses come because of bad conduct. So man's ways are, all right, these good things showed up because we did something good. This bad thing showed up because we did something bad. That's man's way. Losses and rewards based on our conduct, with no consideration of the grace and mercy that has been put in this place. Natural man always feels that he must contribute something to earn God's favor. That's what church has been like for some of you for the last 10, 20, 30 years. Natural man saying, and based on church, and based on pulpit, and based on sermons, natural man says, I've got to contribute something in order to get God's favor. And if I don't contribute something, I can't get God's favor. In the pulpits of the world, this is what you have to contribute to get God's favor. But you have to understand, you did not contribute anything at the beginning of God's favor. God's favor was God's idea, not mine, not yours. Think about this. Think about always thinking, I've got to contribute something. It so contradicts everything. If you have to contribute something to get God's favor, it's not favor. How is it favor if you had something to do with getting it? It's not. I contributed nothing to get born again, except I believed. I believed His way. A lot of gifts that you're walking in now, you keep trying to find where your contribution made this happen. That's right. That is not God's way. Amen. It's man's way. God's method under grace is seen in Jesus dealing with that woman taken in adultery. Let's look at that. John chapter 8, verses 3 through 11. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. I mean, in the very act of adultery. They bought the woman sheets and all. Ain't no, we think she in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Jesus, Master, this woman was taken in adultery. In the very act. Now, because they're trying to trick Jesus, because Jesus is supposed to be there fulfilling the law. And according to the law, this should be this woman's last day. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? They're trying to trip Jesus up. Watch him. This is why he my king. This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. He was egging them. You understand what I'm saying? I ain't got time for this tomfoolery. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, okay. And I like this because he can't go against the law because he had come to deliver people from the law, and he couldn't deliver them from the law unless he operated and fulfilled all the law. So what do you say? So he didn't say, don't stone her. Here's what he said. He lifted up himself and said unto him, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And he again stooped down and wrote on the ground. Somebody said, do you know what he was writing? No, I don't know what he was writing. And you don't either. So don't get up and preach a sermon talking about what Jesus was writing, you know, the day that he would return. No, you don't know. He might have been doodling. Because that's what you do when people talk in tomfoolery. You just like, He says, all right, fine. I'm not telling you not to stone her. Here's all I'm saying. Anybody, any one of you who don't have sin in your life, go ahead. And the Bible says the older people left first because they knew they had a whole bunch going on. The older people just got on out of there like, man, let me go on. The younger people thought they had hope, but they eventually left too. And they which had heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, they went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus left her alone. And the woman, standing in his midst, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Had no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, watch this, neither do I condemn thee. This sin of adultery will not condemn you. What you did deserved death and condemnation. You should have been condemned to death because you broke the law, and the law said you should be condemned to death. But in a sense, he said, but mercy has come before you today. Jesus, full of grace and truth, and I forgive you. Now take this mercy and this grace that you've received today and go and sin no more, because grace has come unto you. Now it's possible for her to actually walk without sitting and doing this again, because before there was no mercy and grace. There was just the threat of death. And people telling you, you're going to hell for this and you're going to hell for that. But now I see mercy, I see grace, I see Jesus. I see that I can do what I didn't think I was able to do before, because his way showed up and he reversed what was supposed to happen under the law. And that same thing going on today. We still trying to send folks to hell when we catch them in stuff. But when Jesus asks you to live a godly life, he will never do so without first of all making sure that there's an act of grace and mercy available for your bad day.
All right, let's go through this. Jesus first freely forgave her of sin, for which under the law she was worthy of death. Then secondly, he admonished her to live a life free from sin. And it's important to recognize that under the law, God's order was reversed. Under the law, God promised blessings only on the conditions of obedience, and he threatened curse if every part of it was not fulfilled. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 2. I'll bless you, if you obey, I'll bless you. And then in verse 15 of Deuteronomy, he says, I'll curse you if you don't. That was the law of mercy. That was grace showing up. See, for every Christian that's still trying to live by the law,
Why did Jesus reverse it here?
Amen.
Huh? Why did he reverse it? Why did this woman walk away and Jesus said, I don't condemn you? And you remember scripture, he says, I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through me, through grace, through mercy, might be saved. So it is imperative that God's orders under grace, that those orders are not confused with the orders of the law. And to be honest with you, it is often confused. We live this Christian life confusing the orders under grace with the orders under the law. And the problem with that is you have to be careful, because self-righteousness is trying to get in. A holier-than-thou attitude tries to get in. Somehow, if you think you're able to keep doing that with people, you're kind of saying that you ain't got no problems nowhere. And the next thing you know, you're gonna look around and we got a holy police department developing in the church. As God's basis of mercy and grace, his works of grace for an appeal are disregarded, the service that follows is often done in dependence upon self. If you disregard the mercy and the grace and the works of grace, and then God tells you to live godly, then what happens is, if you disregard this grace, you're gonna often end up doing things depending upon yourself instead of depending upon him. And that's what's happened in church. We disregard the work of grace, we disregard the mercy of God, and so we look at the appeal, live godly, and so what are we going to do? We're saying, I got to depend on myself to be able to do that. I got to discipline myself to be able to do that. I got to work hard to be able to do that. And what God is saying, I don't want you to do it like that. I want you, to be so into my unrestricted love for you that you find yourself doing it not out of duty and responsibility, but as a response to the love that I have to you, that I don't want you to do it because you think it's your duty. I want you to do it because you've been blown away by his unrestricted, unrestrained love, that he loves you enough not to condemn you. And you say, I got to do this, not because I want to, because I've never encountered nobody like this. I want to live right. I want to live godly. I want to say no to that and no to this. Not because of the consequences of hell or condemnation or shame, but I want to do it because he loved me so much, he wouldn't dare make an appeal without first of all showing me there's mercy and there's grace, and I won't condemn you, but I'll get you to want to do it because you want to do it, because you've encountered my love. That's why I had to wear tennis shoes this morning. Because you can't tell me I'm going to go to hell because you're a preacher dressing the way you dress. But I can dress this way because there's mercy and grace for the way I dress. When the appeal is based on God's work of grace, the resultant conduct will be in dependence upon him and for his glory. So when God asks me to live godly, okay, I'm dependent on you. I need you to do this. Your appeal is for me to present my body as a living sacrifice. All right, so you know I'm gonna need your mercy and your grace to be able to do this. The eloquence and the persuasive powers of a speaker, or the enthusiasm of an occasion, may move some people to action, but it will probably be lacking depth, and it probably won't be centered on God. Motivational speak is what I'm saying. That, yeah, it'll move you to action for a minute. I'm motivated, my emotions are high. You can do it, we can do it, we can do it. And I'm not against motivation, but if it's not dependent on God, it has an expiration.
that just one day you're going to wake up and you don't feel motivated. But under God's way, I can wake up every morning knowing His grace and His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, from grace to grace. And when you have a bad day, you don't stay stuck on your evil day, your bad day. You realize it's a journey, and you realize you have mercy and grace, and you simply get up, wipe yourself off, and keep going on the journey. Sometimes what it took you five minutes to commit, it takes you 20 years to get over. The children of Israel, their actual journey time from them getting to where they was about 11 days or so. And it went from 11 days to 40-something years. That's basically what we got here. We got a few time under grace that we can get something done, and we're taking 40 years to do something that should take about a day or two to do. Because we're dependent on us and not on Him. God's appeal for godly conduct are valid only when it's based on His works of grace and His works of Christ. And so the more that is made of the works of Christ and of the fullness of God's work of grace, the stronger will be the appeal for godly living. But by omitting God's work of grace, by omitting God's work of mercy, standards for godly living are brought down from the divine plane to the level of human concept. Now, all of a sudden, God is asking me to live godly, but I bring it down on the divine plane. Now I'm depending on me. It's often necessary to correct the sins of believers. And this should always be related to God's work of grace for them. Sin should be shown as being of the old man and should be put off as being inconsistent with the believer's position before God. However, condemnations of vices apart from God's work of grace, when you condemn people's sin apart from God's work of grace, apart from God's work of mercy, it leaves a feeling of self-righteousness, a holier-than-thou attitude in those people who feel like they're reformed. That always amazes me how somebody can take the time to really condemn somebody else's stuff when they stuff. Are y'all listening to me? They're condemning somebody else's stuff when their stuff is not really together. Can I get a witness? And we got to stop doing that. We got to stop doing that. Let's look at something here. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans 12 and verse 1. If it has pleased God to be careful to appeal for godly living because His own work of grace, it's not necessary as a duty or responsibility for believers to do likewise. I saw myself sitting down here and talking you through what I just said. It went over my head. It's something that I'm like, okay, now. If it has pleased God to be careful to make an appeal for godly living, and He makes that appeal because of His own work of grace, is it not necessary as a duty of responsibility, but by His grace, shouldn't the believers do the same thing God just did? Live a godly life based on my work of grace, not based on your duty or responsibility. Well, shouldn't every believer say, I am going to live a godly life based on His grace and mercy, and not as a duty or a responsibility.
Do you know who God really is? In Creflo Dollar's four-part series, The Truth About God's Ways, he highlights who God is and how his unique nature sets us free. This four-message series is available for a love gift of $25 or more for CDs or $35 or more for DVDs. To receive this series and discover God's loving nature, call the number on your screen, scan the QR code, or visit CreflodollarMinistries.org and click eStore today.
Mentality 2023, Creflo Dollar Ministries' annual Revival of Manhood is back, and it's time to release the weight of manhood. We'll cover issues that weigh on men from all walks of life. The trap of emotions, self-preservation, the false balance of success, and more. Text MENTALITY to 51555. Scan the QR code on your screen or visit CreflodollarMinistries.org. Register now.
Know that your contributions do not go unnoticed. Understand also that when you sow financial seeds into Creflo Dollar Ministries, you actually assist us in ministering to the physical and spiritual needs of millions around the world. You help us build schools, drip irrigation systems, and homes for pastors. You also help us provide supplies for children and the elderly. We thank you, and we continue to pray for you daily.
Log on to our website at missions.creflodollarministries.org to see all the work we do at Creflo Dollar Global Missions. Thank you for your support.
Hopefully, you're going to choose to let heaven determine your thinking, because whatever choice you make, then that's going to be your mentality for today.
Can you say that he's a waymaker? Yes. Can you say that he's a God that sits high and looks low? Yes.
Get the message of grace any way you want. Stream service live, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, with re-airs at 2 p.m., 6 p.m., and 10 p.m. Eastern Time.
The preceding program was brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.